This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are taking your phone calls at 888-5-KILLER, 888-554-5537. You can weigh in on any of the cases that we are talking about. We'd love to hear your voice on any of it. Got some calls lined up here that want to comment on the world of Alec Murdaugh. Let's first go to this one. I'm interested because it involves some of the scuttlebutt. I don't think I've ever used that word in a sentence, but it just kind of came to me. Scuttlebutt. and accusations around Randy right now and some of the mysterious, if you will, accusations of him being near Stephen Smith's crime scene, murder scene, the morning of the death being found. Let's take a listen.
Hey, first name's Ed. Calling about the peculiar actions at the scene of the Stephen Smith murder. Just heard the defense attorney there. I'm an attorney as well. And you were asking that attorney why the firm of Randy Murdaugh would have denied that he contacted Stephen Smith's family. I think it's obvious why they denied it, because it's unethical for an attorney to solicit a person for business. I mean, they don't. In other words, he's calling these folks, asking them if they need help, but what he's really doing is, well, I'm not sure what he's doing, but it's unethical for an attorney to contact a person in need of legal services. You can send them a letter, but you can't contact them directly. That's unethical in almost every state. I've got to be unethical in South Carolina as well. I mean, I'm an attorney in Florida and also in North Carolina. I'm licensed. And in both of those states, it's absolutely unethical for an attorney to directly contact an individual in need of legal services. It really evolves out of, you know, personal injury cases. There's a lot of money you can make for these personal injury cases if someone is hurt. And so attorneys back in the day would, you know, show up at the hospital, chase people down, you know, ambulance chasers. But all that's unethical. You can't directly contact somebody in need of legal services. You have to send them a letter, or you can't call them on the phone, and you can't go solicit business in person. So that would be the reason why, that would absolutely be the reason why the law firm would deny that that contact is made. All right. Thanks.
Sure. I mean, I kind of assumed that would be the reason why, because it is unethical. But it is interesting as things continue to evolve in the way that we communicate with one another. What was, you know, what's considered unethical today? What was considered unethical 20 years ago? What's going to be unethical in 20 years from now? Is sending the letter unethical? I mean, will there even be a way to send letters in 20 years from now?
Right.
Is it unethical to tweet at the person? Is it unethical to reach out to them and send them a letter through social media or whatever? How strictly unethical do they guard that? Is that like reportable to the bar, and then the bar is going to be like, you can't do that, or you get fined?
Yeah, and sometimes they can discipline them, mm-hmm. and make them take a class on ethics, things like that.
Okay, so that's where it could go.
They don't do it again.
Okay, so that's where it could go. I didn't know if it was just more of a, you know, stated, we don't do this sort of thing, but there's some, you know, Saul Goodmans of the world that will still do that because there isn't really consequences.
You can do it until you get caught.
Okay. So they'd have to report you and say so-and-so, and then,
yeah.
Okay.
Ethically, an attorney shouldn't do those kinds of things.
Sure.
Shouldn't, with quotes. And hopefully there's a lot of ethical attorneys that wouldn't. But, you know, in every field, you have those that are always kind of skirting the rules and kind of riding that edge. And once they get caught, they go, oh, OK, I won't do that again. But maybe they've been doing it for several years. Who knows? Maybe their entire career. It's hard to say.
I know very little about Randy Murdaugh in terms of making any sort of judgment on his ethics or personality. So I'll reserve that. I'll just say that the Murdaugh name isn't necessarily synonymous with ethics.
Right.
It's probably a blessing and a curse to a lot of people with that name. For many years, it was a blessing. Now it's kind of a curse. But that doesn't make every single person with that last name an evil human being or bad or unethical. I'm sure there's plenty of that family that are decent human beings, and now are scorned by that because they have that name. But I don't know. I mean, who knows? I don't know. There's a lot of things in this where it should at very least be examined as to why certain actions were taken at certain times, just to kind of rule things out and figure out what was going on the day of that crime. Let's do another call on Murdaugh here. Hi. Yeah.
Hey, Tony, this is Mariah. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia, and I listen to your podcast, which I very much enjoy, so keep up the good work on any of them. I heard a woman call in for Alec Murdaugh saying that he didn't kill them. She does think, though, that he was there to witness it and didn't and still isn't talking about it because to protect his remaining family members. I strongly disagree with that for multiple reasons. A, Maggie was not supposed to be there. She was supposed to be at their other house. And Alec asked her to come back home and spend the night. In addition, so which means I would rather think that he would have been a part of it and facilitated it. But then also the raincoat that had gunshot residue on it that was found in the mother's house, I believe. And then, the 911. So I did not even notice, and I'm a crime junkie, but I did not know that if the call records before the 911 dispatcher picks up the phone, and if he truly would have been devastated and shocked and saddened and everything by what transpired when he claimed to have found the bodies, I wonder why he was so calm and collective and there was no sound but the dogs barking until the phone call was picked up. So I don't think that anyone else pulled the trigger. I do think it was him, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe somebody else was involved as well, but made him pull the trigger. You know what I mean? But in either way, whether you have witnessed it or whether you pulled the trigger or whether you weren't a part of it at all, there's no way you can tell me that someone witnesses what he had witnessed from what we know and what we don't know, and then be that calm about it, calling 911. That's just not right. Okay, thank you, and can't wait for the next episode. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, I think no matter what happened, he was there and participating, not participating, setting this whole thing up or being the victim of blackmail. He was part of it, and his actions are what got him in the situation of this occurring, whether that be his choice to make this happen, or screwing somebody else over on money or something, and then someone taking out some sort of revenge. But he certainly was there. I think the 911 call is very telling, and it's funny because people, for the most part, are unaware. When you call 911, it starts recording you.
Of course it does.
It connects.
The minute
you
answer that phone call, it's recorded.
The second it starts ringing, it's recorded. It's not when they pick up, it's when it's ringing, they are recording you. Were you aware of that?
No.
Yes.
How does that even work?
Because it immediately clicks to their connection. So the ring that you're hearing is not the typical ring of like me calling you and waiting for you to answer. It clicks, it's connected. It's then ringing internally within the 911 center. Yes.
Before and they even answer.
Yes. That's how they can narrow down a lot of bullshit calls. Because if you are sitting there and your wife and son are dead and you're breathing heavily and you're frantic and you're crying and you're in this horrible state, you're going to hear that while it's ringing. And you're going to hear that as Alec likes to wheeze a lot in between words when he's trying to sound sad or upset or scared. There was none of that. It was suddenly when 911 actually answered is when it was like, and go and action. Then suddenly it's wheezing and it's, I don't know. And then you also notice too, when she says, okay, hang on one second, I got to transfer you. All that shit stops.
Oh.
And then the second, the next area picks up and cue. And he goes. But it's like every time the operator like stops it or transfers him, it's like, and scene. And he like takes his breath, kind of recomposes, and then the operator, and then boom, back to being in the moment.
Have you ever had to call 911?
Yeah.
It's nerve-wracking, isn't it?
It is a little. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like if I'm calling 911, it's for a reason. I don't think I've
right,
ever.
Right, but I feel like your emotions are going.
Sure.
You're nervous. You're shaky. You're, you know, it's like, holy shit, something's happening and I'm reporting it.
Yeah.
So to hear that somebody can just relax.
Yeah. That's you not, know, you, for an authentic 911 call showing emotion, you're going to hear it. If the person's vocal about their emotions, you're going to hear it while it's ringing and you're going to hear it continuing on. If it's something that person is acting or faking, you're going to hear that silence at the beginning or whatever it is that's inconsistent with the rest of the phone call. There's been phone calls to 911 where the person's having like a real, like, okay, they're going to answer here. I'm calling 911. And then the like 911 answers and then they're like, oh my God, oh my God. And you can tell right there that they went from, you know, personality A to personality B right then and there. And it's an act. Because people don't realize this, and I'm not trying to give information to murderers, but right. this is how it works. It is common knowledge if you just do a little bit of digging. But it also played out very obviously in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. They never brought that point up, which I thought was interesting, but I guess they really didn't need to either. But that was something I even did a episode on early on, talking about that very moment when listening to that audio.
Wow.
So. There you go. The more you know about 911.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Yes, it is. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of the breaking updates on the stories that we're following for you and our conversations about them. And if you want to weigh in with your opinion on any of these stories, you're welcome to do so. We may use it on a future episode. 888-5-KILLER is the phone number. 888-554-5537. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.